Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. That verse says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." This month, in the month of January, we have taken every Sunday morning and a couple of Sunday evenings focusing on the Bible, Bible reading, and Bible knowing, and Bible following, and that sort of thing. Today, the subject that I am going to focus on is what I'm calling Bible saturation. That's the idea of let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The idea is abundantly, overflowing, more than just mediocrity, tying to the Sunday school lesson, more than just what is enough, more than just the kind of the irreducible minimum, but richly, abundantly, overflowing in our lives. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, let me ask a few questions to think about as we begin. Where does your mind go when you're not thinking about something on purpose? What generally holds your attention? Where does your mind kind of, where does it land? When you're not really using it deliberately, you're not reading a book or reading the Bible, you're not praying, you're not, I don't know, perhaps driving a car and texting. No, don't do that. But you know, this idea of when you're not deliberately, intentionally thinking about something, where does your mind tend to go? God's goal for us is that it tends to go to the Scripture. That it tends to go right back to the Word of God. And we are resonating in the Word of God. That we are seeking to fill our hearts and fill our minds with the glories and the majesty and the dominion and the power of the fact that there was a time when there was nothing but God. And then He made everything. And that He is ruling everything. And that you will never have something that happens to you or to me that is not in the hands of God, going to be used with design, with intentionality, to make you more like Jesus Christ as a believer. Where does your mind go? How we think, kind of the default of our minds, where they go when we're not intentional using them, is extremely important. There has been the statement put out that we are what we think. That is a very true statement. We are what we think. Perhaps we could enhance it a little bit by saying we are, present tense, what we have been thinking. And how our thoughts really are not just something that happens to us or even happens in us, but beyond that, our thoughts really are seeds. And that many times our thoughts can be self-fulfilling prophecies. If we always think negative thoughts and gloomy thoughts and that sort of thing, then we become gloomy. We understand that, I think. God's challenge to us is to seek to have the Bible holding our attention. To seek to have the Bible really holding sway in our thoughts. That's not to say that we never think about anything else. It's like a parallel concept where the Bible says we should pray without ceasing. That does not mean that we should never say anything that is not a prayer or think anything that is not a prayer. It is the idea that we should never conclude our prayers. We should never stop praying. Praying should be part of the atmosphere and fabric of the way we live. That it's just something that we're weaving into all that we do. And that's the idea with letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's not to say that you should never read something that's not the Bible. But it is to say that whatever is going on in our lives, we want to saturate our minds with the Word so that we can withstand the trials and temptations and doubts and fears that plague us all and will until we see our Lord Jesus Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 talks about this when it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. God says, give your body back to God. But then it goes on and it says how to do this. When it says in the second verse, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may show that good, and what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God says, give your body to the Lord. How do you do that? You resist being conformed to this world. This world that leaves out God. This world that is all about right now and me. That's the idea. The world that leaves out God and the thinking that is all about me and about now. Not to be conformed to that. If we don't recognize what's happening, then we naturally just become like where we are and who we're around and what we have influencing our lives. And what God is saying is, don't be conformed to that. Don't just be pressed into that mold. Recognize and perceive what's going on, and don't be conformed to that, but rather be changed, transformed. Either way, we're going to be formed. We're going to be either formed with the world, conformed, or we are going to be formed in a changing way, transformed. And the way we do that, Scripture says, is by the renewing of your mind. God's plan is that his children have their minds renewed with his words so that their lives demonstrate the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that people say, wow, you're changing. You're different. You know, you're not as proud as you used to be, or you're not as angry as you used to be, or you're not as whatever, name the sin, you know, or maybe not, you're not like something else, but maybe it's like, you know, you really demonstrate that you're more patient than you used to be. You used to fly off the handle, or whatever it might be. God's plan is that as our minds are renewed, our lives demonstrate that his way is good and acceptable and perfect, and so that others see our lives, not just our lips and what we say, but the message, what we tell people, is compelling because of our lives. That takes place in our hearts and minds with what we think. Here's another verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and 23 says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Conversation being more than talk, it's the whole converse of the life. Put off the way you used to live, and or it goes on and says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And then it goes on and says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The idea is to be made new, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, not to allow the mind to just constantly go back to the way I used to think, but to take the freshness, the glory, the blessing, the transcendence, the light, the liberty, the life of the Word of God to permeate the way we think. How about this one, Philippians 4:8, you're probably very familiar with. It concludes with, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You could just take the virtue, which is the idea of beauty and wholesomeness, or praise. If there be any praise, think on these things and just really try to ask yourself in the next days, how much does my mind go to that which is a burden and heartache and sadness and anger and the problems with this world and diseases and doubts and fears? And how much rather does my mind go back to praise and to giving God praise? There is always cause to give God praise. But we can take him and his blessings and his mercy and his grace so for granted. And we just kind of get down in the mire and the muck and the mud of this world. Think on these things. How about Proverbs 4:23, where the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our heart, our innards. Our minds, our wills, our emotions, to understand what's going on in us, and instead of just being conformed because we're pushed into the way others are that don't even know the Lord, but rather really recognizing what's going on and take care of what's on the inside and keep it. You know, like the idea is to protect our heart and to not just let things influence us. I mean, we can be more careful. I remember back in the in COVID days, I guess it's still COVID days, but not like it was in 2020. And I may not, you know, we used to have hand sanitizer all over the building. Not over the building, but available all over the building. And the masks, we had them right when you walk in. And that's fine, it was then. But I used to think, boy, if we could be as careful with thoughts that get into our hearts and minds as we are with the possibility that germs get in, we'd be so much better off. That's the idea of let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. But let us understand the Bible is not a good luck charm. Reading the Bible is not a magic potion. Reading the Bible is not some kind of a superstition that if I read it, I'm better, and if I don't read it, I'm not. That's not necessarily true. I mean, you can master the Bible and not even be a child of God. You can master the texts, the facts. You could quote the Bible and not know the God who is. The goal is not just to read the Bible. The goal is to know our God and to go beyond the written page, if you will, to know Him and to love Him and to honor Him, or to go back to Sunday school, to be in awe of Him. This evening, as we have the Lord's Supper, part of what we'll deal with is it's Romans 5:8 is the text, and we will talk about what God says about how much He loves us. How much He really loves us. Just the way we are. With all of our warts and our weaknesses and our sins and our problems, all the things that other people don't know that we'd be embarrassed if they did, God knows it all. He still loves you. We can rest our hearts and our minds in the truths of the Bible that is constantly telling us that God is love. You can't earn it, and neither can I. But He loves, and we love Him back. Just reading black ink on white paper that's called the Bible, that's not going to change us. It's where our hearts and minds love this book and go back to this book and let this book, these words, really nourish and strengthen us. We can know what the Bible says and yet ignore it. It doesn't make any change in us. It's like seeing an extraordinary sunrise or sunset, and it's just kind of there. But we don't stop and think, wow, God, that is so cool, You just did that, and watch it for 3 minutes, and it's gone every day. And worship Him. We saw an extraordinary sunset the other day, and I said to my wife, we were in a walk, I said, that's God preaching. Because Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. That is saying God is big and beautiful and glorious and majestic, and He did that. It didn't just happen. Don't let the Bible deniers and God haters somehow get you to think, no, it just kind of happened. It just is evolution. God painted that, man. God did that. The heavens declare the glory of God. God did that. And we, as God's people, we just enjoy going back and saying, way to go, God, You did a wonderful job with that. That's the idea. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, I am going to ask you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. Would you please do that for me? I did not put this on the slides, and this is not the passage that our brother read. It's another passage in Deuteronomy, chapter 8, or another chapter, Deuteronomy, chapter 8. I'd like to read three verses to you. They're the first three. If you're there already, you can look at them. And I want to encourage you today with 4 points, if time permits. The first one being that Bible saturation includes the entire Bible. That Bible saturation of our hearts includes all that God says. That there is something to be said for recognizing the totality, the wholeness of God's Word. But the temptation can be to spend our time with just the sweet stuff, just the obvious stuff, our favorite portions. Look with me, please, at Deuteronomy 8, and I'll read the three verses. Verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day Shall ye observe to do that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers? And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, watch this now, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. You know, this passage of scripture in Deuteronomy is one that Jesus quoted. Do you remember it? When he was tempted, you remember in the scriptures before Jesus really got into his public ministry, there's a time where it talked about how Jesus was fasting and he was out in the wilderness and he was alone and he was there for weeks and weeks. And at the end of it, in a condition physically very weakened, spiritually very strengthened, but physically very weakened. Do you remember when Satan came to him? Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. At the point of his weakness, Satan went after him. And there is something you and I can learn about that. He's going to come after us in our weakness. He's going to come after us at the weak points of our lives. He's very shrewd. Satan is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. But he's been watching people like you and me for thousands of years. And he's not playing. It says that, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he, Jesus, answered and said, it is written, we just read it, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament emphasize for us that we do not live by bread alone, but that we live not just with physical nutrition, but we need the spiritual nutrition. Listen, by the way, just a practical application really right here today with our General Assembly in Virginia. There is the pushing of what is called physician-assisted suicide. It doesn't have a lot of momentum right here, but it does across the world, and it certainly does across our nation in different states, and some in Virginia would like to see that happen. Physician-assisted suicide. You could ask yourself, what do you think about that? And we hear these horrible stories, indeed horrible, of people who have lost their minds or lost their health and they're just suffering. And the idea is we ought to let them die with dignity and let them choose their own death. And that could become, in some ways, seemingly very reasonable, even for believers. But only if you forget what this text says. Because the idea behind medical murder, self-murder, the idea behind that is that we are only material, that we are just physical, that that's all we are. We're just physical, we're just material. And if the physical breaks down, our minds, our bodies, and if that breaks down, that why continue? Just end it all. But self-murder does not end it all. Because we are not merely material and physical. We have souls. There's a part of us that will live on forever and wake up in heaven or hell with self-murder. We need to understand that. The Bible says, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why? Because what proceeds out of the mouth of God doesn't really do much for our bodies like bread will. But you cannot be spiritually strengthened with physical bread. But God uses that obvious metaphor. We understand what it would be like to go 40 days eating nothing with no physical nutrition. Well, maybe we don't understand by experience. But we can imagine what it is like. Kathy was really sick, as you know, last week. And she's still struggling with pain. And they're doctoring to figure out that pain in her side. But She said, I think it was, she said that she wasn't able to eat from Thursday night till Friday night. I think it was the time. Can you imagine the hunger? 24 hours, or 72 hours, or 40 days. It was that time of weakness where Jesus took in no nutrition. He was very physically weak, but he was spiritually strong. And that is why he quoted the text of Scripture to Satan. And my friends, we need to understand, we can live in the most beautiful house. We can have the fabulous career. We could be famous. We could be powerful. We could have money. We can have all that this life offers. But what's really important is not that. What we really should be living for is not just that. What should we be living for? We should be living for what God has revealed to us in his holy and wonderful word. Oh, why do I have to read Deuteronomy? Or why do I have to read the prophets or the minor prophets? Or why do I have to read Revelation? Or why do I have to read things that are really difficult? I appreciated what our brother said. I forget exactly how you said it. But what did you say you heard a pastor say before you read today, Jonathan? There you go. The Bible is not a lazy man's book. And that's very true, but sometimes we can be kind of lazy and we don't want to put forth the effort. And I'll just tell you, if you're reading something and you don't know what it means and you want help, there is so much help today, so much that's free that you can study. And it used to be, as we know, it used to be when Deuteronomy was written, they didn't have a printing press. They had to carry scrolls around when Jesus was on this planet. We have so very much, and we don't even need books today. How many of you opened your Bible when I said, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8? And how many of you pulled out a phone? Good for you. That's fine. You've got, you can carry hundreds of Bible verses on your phone, you know. Having our lives in proximity to that is not going to help us. We have to get it in proximity to us. That's why God calls it bread. That's why God says that we should eat his word. Because it's not good enough to just have food on the table. You got to take it in. And that's the metaphor for God's word. What about the child who doesn't ever want to brush his teeth, doesn't ever want to clean up, doesn't want to take a bath, doesn't want to put on new clothes, doesn't want to, all he wants to eat is candy and bubble gum or whatever. He doesn't want to eat fruit, doesn't want to eat vegetables. Will he die? Probably not. But he's not going to be healthy. That's the way we are. If we don't have a balanced diet, by realizing that in our generation, different from when Jesus was on this planet, we have the whole of God's written word that we can read. And I encourage you to do it. If you find it hard to read, maybe you'd say, wow, reading through the Bible in a year, that'd be a gargantuan task. Fine, read through it in 2 years. Read through it in 5 years, but read the Bible and know what the Bible has to say. Read through the Bible because God says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, so that's the one point. Now, I'd like to go back, if you go back a page or two to Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at a different point here. This is from the text that our brother read here between our second and third song this morning. I'm going to read these verses, and it's verse 6, 7, 8, and 9. And I want you to look at words about timing, or I'll just make it simple. Look for the word when. It appears multiple times here. Because we want to look at this idea of Bible saturation really includes time. It really includes timing. It's amazing to look at this that way. The Bible says, Deuteronomy 6:6, these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. Okay. And when thou walkest by the way. And when thou liest down. And when thou risest up. Four times he says when. Now why is he saying that? What are we to learn from that? Okay, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, does that mean that somehow we should take this in a legalistic way and say, okay, I rose up, I said something about the Bible. God bless you, honey, I don't know. And then we walk to the car and we say, praise the Lord, or quote a verse or something. No. The idea is, what kind of time is there when you're not sitting, walking, rising, or going to bed? I mean, there are no loopholes there. What God is saying is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Thinking about the word of God. You go on, and I mean, it's a very interesting. Verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon your hand, and be as frontlets between your eyes. Wear them. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. What's he saying? You know, they took it sometimes in a very legalistic way. Okay, you make sure it's here. That's not the idea. The idea is do everything we can to remind ourselves. You are fulfilling this if you're carrying a phone and you have a Bible version on it. But you're not really. Because the goal is not to just have it on the walls. Do it. It's great. We've got verses all over our house. I started looking around one time, actually not long ago, and it's like, wow, she's got verses everywhere. Great! But you got to read them. It's not just having them there. And it's not just like reading the Bible. It's the timing of just trying, seeking, working to be saturated with the Word of God. Psalm 119 and 97 says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Psalm 1 verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Listen, when the trials of life come, when the temptations come, when you wake at night and you can't go back to sleep, resist reaching for a device. Light, boom, you're done. You're not going back to sleep. Resist reaching for a bottle or a pill. Resist when the trials of life come. I mean, our brother talked next door in the about pastors. He said that he knew that got so stressed out with ministry that they have a few, I don't know what he called them, but cocktails or something at night just to kind of chill. Reach for the Bible, brother and sister. Reach for the Bible. Take the Bible and read. You're stressed out. Read the Bible. I don't mean read through it and blow through it and say, got that done. No, let the Bible help you. That's what God, we have a sword, the Bible says. The Bible says it is alive. It's alive. It's a living book. It is an active book. It's not just a book, and it's not a book like any other book that we have. And so Bible saturation includes timing, and Bible saturation includes number three is effort. The Bible is not a book for a lazy man. I like it. It was providential that you said it. I would have quoted it if I knew it, but I didn't. So now I said it twice, and you heard it from him twice. That's the idea. It's going to take determined effort. How much effort? How much work are you willing to put into your love relationship with Jesus Christ? Or do you just want what's easy? Do you just kind of want to float along, and it's kind of like, well, you know, hey, I think I'm doing pretty good. I go to church every other Sunday. I mean, I didn't used to ever go at all. I didn't grow up going to church, and so, man, I think it's pretty cool. Determined effort. I'm in Proverbs chapter 2, if you'd like to look, but we won't take time to get everybody to look at it. But the first five verses, I'll read this to you. You'll have to listen carefully. But could you listen for verbs? Listen for verbs here. I'll highlight them as I read. It's Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. It starts with the word if, and it's an if-then statement. Listen to what it says. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. I mean, you really want to get it. And apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Did you get the verbs? I mean, over and over and over, he's saying, with the word of God, receive it and hide it and incline your ears and apply it and cry for it and seek for it and search for it. I mean, he said, if you seek the word of God as silver, not just reading it, but read it, recognize, wow, Lord, I've only got 10 minutes today, but I'm going to use it to be in your book. I'm going to just enjoy this. Thank you. The attitude we go to the word of God with makes all the difference, because we need to go with a faith attitude, believing that God is just waiting to dump the dump truck. He's going to beep it up as he backs up, and he's going to dump all over us if we'll be in his word, say. All those verbs, amazing. But what's the if-then statement? He says, you know, if you seek her as silver and treasure the word of God like fine gold, what's the if-then? If you do this, then this will happen. Listen carefully. The very text says, if all those things, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Job put it like this: I have esteemed the words of God's mouth, of his mouth. I have esteemed God's words more than my necessary food. Esteemed means to estimate. I have honored the word of God more than my necessary food. I enjoy the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. I am thankful for the Bible more than I am even for food. Is that your heart today? It can be. If you know the Lord, that God is doing that in you. You have to stifle that. You have to push that down. Don't get guilty on me here, okay? I just, as your pastor, don't. The goal is not to read the Bible. It's a higher goal. It's to walk with God. It's to love him. It's to love him, not because you have to, but because he's so lovable and he's so lovely and he's so loving, and we're so undeserving and so unworthy of him. What happens is we can be coming to church and hear a sermon and sing songs, or we can wake up in the morning and read the Bible and have devotions, and what happens? Life happens. And we're pressured and we're pushed. We got to pay these bills, and now there's an unexpected one. Or you have pain and you get sick and you have to go to the doctor. Or you get in an argument, or you lose your job, or you what? All those things. God is not telling us that if we are his children and we're in his word, everything's going to be cake or pasta. He's telling us that we will have the strength, the life, the activity of his word in us to help us through the troubles. That's the idea. So, effort. It's going to take work. So, you know, I'm not interested in being a bad pastor and saying, hey, it's easy. I want to tell you the truth. It's hard. Satan's going to fight you tooth and nail. He does not want you to enjoy God and to enjoy your Christian life. He wants it to be a burden. Oh, you think I have to go to church every week? You think I have to read the Bible every day? You think I have to pray? You think I... Don't worry about the you thinkers in your life. Love Jesus. Draw near to him. Let him work in your life. The fourth point is Bible saturation includes results. I got five of them. That's five more points. You want them all? I'll at least give them to you. But it includes results. Saturation in our lives. One I put was more joy. That was the first one. More joy. Saturating our lives with the Bible is more joy. Jeremiah 15 and 16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He said, I found your words. This prophet, I found your words again, and I ate them. I took them into my life. I digested them. I spent time with it. It took me time. I had to find it. I had to prepare it. I had to chew it. I had to eat it. I had to digest it. You think of that, those metaphors with food. He said, that's what I did with the Word of God. And then he said, and thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. More Bible equals more joy. More Bible does not equal no sadness. Liars teach us that. That's not true. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible. Less Bible is less joy. But more Bible does not mean that you won't have problems. Push back on the idea that, oh, I had this car wreck because I wasn't reading my Bible enough. There's no grace in that. God doesn't throw lightning bolts at you because you didn't read the Bible or pray. What God wants is for us to love Him, not love the law. Read your Bible, pray, go to church, and if you do all these things, you're spiritual. Don't do those things because you have to. Do them because you love a God who has told you how life will work well. And that's how. Scripture's not magic. Reading the Bible is not a negotiating point with God. Okay, God, if you help my child to get better, I'll read the Bible every day for the rest of my life. Read the Bible every day for the rest of your life. But not as some kind of a negotiating point. We don't have any standing with God to be able to go to Him and negotiate with Him because of something that we bring to the table. The only way we have any way to even come to God is through someone else named Jesus who lived without ever sinning and was punished and crucified in our place so that we can come to Him. More joy. So answered prayers, number two. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. How? What does he mean when he says, and my words abide in you? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I'm not talking about just prayers. I'm talking about answered prayers. When we abide in Christ, there are answers to our prayers. Be tired of praying with no answers. Don't just go through religious ritual. I mean, pagans do that and can do that. Your Father wants to bless you and answer your prayers. But we've got to abide in His Word. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Of course, what shall be done unto you will be based on abiding in His words. It's not to say that we abide in His words and the Word of Christ dwells richly and somehow we earn answers to prayer. It's that our prayers are going to be in accord with His will because we're abiding in His Word. Hey, number three is fight sin effectively. We'll be able to do that. Would you get tired of being defeated? Would you get tired of being so angry or being so proud or being so impatient? Would you get tired of that? Would you get tired of never have any kindness, never have any humility? Would you get tired of always being irritable or rude or arrogant or boasting or envying? Would you get tired of that? And just let the Word of God change your life. We can fight sin effectively. And we can fight back on the sin that makes us ashamed and discouraged and all that that is. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. More Bible equals less sinning. Two others, eternal life. Eternal life. 2 Timothy chapter 3. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote that to Pastor Timothy, Paul's last letter. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, I didn't know the Bible from a child. Well, let me tell you something. You know more Bible in the last 30 minutes than some people that are on the planet right now. No one's going to ever stand before God and say, well, I just didn't know. I had no idea. It's not going to happen. God won't let that happen. How He does it all, I don't really know, but it definitely starts with creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. And Psalm 19 goes on and gives other points about that. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him personally? Have you met Him? How do I know? Well, you say, I prayed a prayer. That's not it. Well, I was really sincere. That's not it. I walked an aisle. I got baptized. No. Listen, when you think, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If the first thing you start with is what you did, you might be saved, but you're missing it. It's about what He did, not what you did. When we go to God, we go to Him with our weaknesses and our fears and our doubts and our sins and our problems and our trials and our temptations. And so be it, we need to do that. But God has none of those. And Jesus can be our Savior if we will take Him as our Savior and trust Him, because He never did any of those. But He was punished in our place. Search the Scriptures, Jesus said. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, come to Jesus and trust Him as your Savior. And if you have any questions about that, I'm glad to answer them. I may not have the answers, but I'd be glad to try and show you in the Bible. And we have many other folks here that would do that. But then there's one more point. Bible saturation includes results, and here's one of them. We learn about ourselves. We learn about ourselves. More joy, we all want that. Fighting sin effectively, we want that. Answered prayer, yeah, I'm in, I want it. Okay, eternal life, great. But how about the last one? I say that for last on purpose. We learn about ourselves. It is the abiding Word of God in us that helps us to understand our motives, our goals, our desires. I put in my notes, it is the abiding Word of God in us that helps us understand what makes us tick and what makes us ticked, if that would stick in your mind. That is really true. The Bible says the Word of God is quick or living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. What a metaphor. I mean, we maybe today, instead of saying two-edged sword, we might use a different metaphor because people don't use swords so much now. Maybe we'd say, it's like a grenade. I don't know, you take it how you want. But the point is the power, the strength. But it goes beyond just that. And it goes piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your insides, of the heart. That's the idea. But these blessings, these results are not for the lazy man. They're not for the casual Bible reader. They're not for the uncommitted one. They're for the child of God that loves Him. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly.